thought for today. Even the greatest speakers started somewhere. Even the greatest speakers started somewhere. Even the greatest speakers started somewhere. Who are the great speakers of the world? We all know many of them historically, because historically speakers were thought of as quite marvelous. Nowadays, with all of the microphones and all of the special sound boxes, the speaker can be made to sound as though he were a gigantic voice and a gigantic presence, when indeed he's just a little church mouse, or she. This is true all too often in life. We had an illustration this morning, and the illustration was that the person wanted to be in this school activity with all her heart. And the very strict sister who said if any of them missed any rehearsal, they could not be in the program. And then, because her mother begged and the sister, the participant was sick and not able to be there, they made an exception. And because of that one exception, a great lesson was not learned. You see, so often our parents say, you can't do this, and I'm going to give you a spanking if you do. And they don't give us a spanking. They say, you cannot take the car. I will not let you have the car for the rest of your life if you take the car. And you take the car. And you're forgiven after the next day. And they say, okay. You see, all of our life, we have this great opportunity of standing up for principle, or having people in our world stand up for principle. And when they don't, we lose a great blessing. We lose a great blessing. If a parent says that you're not allowed to do something, and that if you do it, you're going to be punished in some way, and then they don't punish you, they spoil you. They destroy you. Because you don't learn to believe in principle. You don't learn to believe in the rules. You don't learn to believe in the things that are very important in life. And if you don't learn to believe in these things, what happens? Then you yourself lose the gift. You see, we have the opportunity of being good speakers. And the first thing that we don't do is we don't tell people that we're unprepared. I have mentioned this to you many times before. When you get up to give your talk, you may have just woke up and someone says, all right, you give a talk. And you say, oh, I'm not prepared enough. You give that talk. You scrounge around inside of yourself until you come together with some beautiful ideas, and then you give it. You do whatever you're asked to do whenever you're asked to do it. And when you're asked to do it, you never make an excuse for it. Because when you make an excuse for it, what you're doing is making an excuse in case you're not good. If you're good, well then, naturally, I'm always good. But if you're not good, well then it's because you weren't prepared or you didn't have an opportunity to do something. You see, this is something that we've been told so often. I received a notice from a person who isn't in our philosophy, but wanted to be on the list of thought for today. And with the list of the thought for today, they also get these morning talks. And in these morning talks, I'm quite severe sometimes. I'm quite definite. And they said, please take me off your list. Please take me off your list. And you see, when people do that, the desire to be on the list is beautiful. But then, take me off your list. I don't want to hear this. I don't want to be responsible for my world. I don't want to be responsible for what I'm thinking. And so take me off your list. Of course, all they have to do is not listen. But they do. And they get a message. And when they get a message, do you know what that message is saying? That message is saying, you chose this opportunity. You chose this experience. Now, make something of it. Why does anyone go to school? Now, we go to school to learn. And why is it we ever have bad teachers? We have bad teachers because we are a bad student. If we are a good student, all of our teachers will be outstanding. Believe it. If you are a good student, if you are dedicated to learning and you find learning a lot of fun, all of your teachers will be outstanding. The teachers that some students find not very nice or not very pleasant, and certainly not very helpful in learning, a good student finds not a problem. A bad student is always going to find teachers' problems because they have not disciplined themselves. They have not learned to take responsibility. Their parents have destroyed them by threatening them and then not following through with it. How many wealthy children do you hear that their parents don't follow through with it? In the movie Made to Order, the girl had a very wealthy father, and the father just spoiled her rotten, and then she said, "Why are you so rotten?" Well, he had never expected her to be good. She was essentially a good girl. She was essentially a well-mannered, well-brought-up girl, but she was a little jerk because she was winding her dad around her finger all the time, and her dad let her do it. And then one day, her dad just got tired of it. Instead of doing it step by step along the way, he got tired of it. And then he was very angry with himself and with the world. He says, "I wish I never had a daughter." And the story goes on from there. But even the greatest speakers start somewhere. We have to start somewhere with our wonder of life, our wonder of speaking, our wonder of doing things. Now, I have been speaking all my life, as we all have. And I've been publicly speaking ever since I was in junior high school. I'd go around to all of the schools speaking about conservation and forestry and things like that because that was my love, and I was doing that for the state because they wanted to show these films in the various schools, so I showed them and I spoke about it. And I was uninhibited about it. It was a wonderful thing. And give me any subject and I'll talk to you about it in a very positive, dynamic, forceful way. I don't have to say I'm not prepared, because in my library, in my own consciousness, is a preparation for any talk you want. And if the talk doesn't please me, then I wrap it around whatever it pleases me, because that's my privilege. I'm going to go to Europe next month. I will be giving some seminars in Europe. And I say to myself, when I go to Europe next month, I will give some of the most fantastic seminars I've ever given. They'll be unique and new and filled with beautiful new concepts, new ways of looking at things. The people will just be delighted with them. It will meet the needs that they have in their heart for the information that I'm giving. It will be the most wonderful series of talks that I've ever given. I could just say, just another series of seminars. They'll be good like they always are. You know, I greet each new seminar, each new time that I speak, as something very dynamic. In Europe, we'll have a good house. We'll have a lot of people attending. At times, we have not had a lot of people attending. We've had 4 or 5, 10, 20 people. But regardless of how many people I have to speak with and speak to, I give them all the hay that I've got in the barn. I give them all my love, all my joy, all my enthusiasm, all that I am within me. I give it all because that's what it's all about. And that's what I'm all about. I don't know how to give any of you less than all, even though each of you might come to me with a different situation in your heart. And you might come to talk to me about your own problems in life. And immediately I draw upon the library within my consciousness of all the possibilities that might be helpful to you. Not necessarily my own personal success stories. And let me make a point of this right now. We think that it's good to speak about our own personal success stories, because that's what helps people to grow and be things. Well, that's true. Many of our positive thinking writers today tell you about their success stories and about how they have grown and how they have moved from one level of consciousness to another. And that's all good. That's all good. The human loves that. Now the divine in you says, well, of course, you're Herb Byerly. No wonder you're so wonderful. No wonder you can accomplish anything. If I were Herb Byerly, I could do that too. If I were Billy Graham, I could do that too. If I were Wayne Dyer, I could do that too. If I were any of these fantastic, beautiful people, I could do that too. You know, that's what you say. But you give illustrations of not so well-known people. Even if they are well-known people, you don't tell them that they're well-known people. But you give illustrations of how people have used the principle and how they have applied it. And magic takes place. But the moment you say it is some wonderful person, then your participant in your discussion, your person you're counseling with or working with, they say, well, of course. But do you know how many times these various fantastic people failed? Do you know how many times these various fantastic people almost fell on the edge of giving up because it wasn't so easy? All of them did. All of them did, but the successful ones hung in there. Now, the greatest speakers had to start somewhere. And I suggest, if any of you are looking for a field of speaking, whether you're speaking to yourself or to your friends or to your world or to the universe, first, like yourself. When you like yourself, you get up and you just share who you are. You share your love. You share your joy. You share beautiful illustrations. Now, Anita likes to give us an illustration of a unicorn, because the unicorn takes it outside of herself. But then she wraps herself in there, and she's having part of that adventure. And the story becomes interesting as soon as she wraps herself in there. But when Anita can wrap her little nephew in there, when she can wrap other people in there who are not significant or we don't know, then the story becomes even more interesting. And it becomes more interesting because there is no ego in there. There is no self feeling wonderful for yourself. There is no idea that you're superior or something like that. There's an idea only that you are being magnificent and you're seeing it in others. And that's a beautiful thing. Now, can you see it in others? Can you see the purity that you're talking about in others? For instance, going back to Anita, she talks about her ride on the horse, and the horse turned quickly and she fell off. And the story goes on from there. It's a very personal story. And you can see it. And you can see it with Anita, and you can say, sure, she's a special lady. She can do these things. She's a special lady because she prepared herself. But now what if you said, I was training some children to ride horses, and they were riding at the beach. And one of the girls slipped off the horse as the horse made a turn she didn't expect. And she sat there in the surf. And she looked at her horse as it was dashing down the beach. And she said to herself, "Oh my goodness, what am I going to do?" And then she remembered, "Hey, I've had this Pirelli horse training, and it says we're playing games. That horse is playing a game right now. Trying to have a good time playing a game." So, you see, she put her mind at ease. Now, when Anita says, "I did it," right away, we start looking at Anita saying, "Yeah, you're good. You're well-trained. You're an artist. You're a genius at this." But when we say one of the girls in the class, one of the little students, you know, is having this experience, it's a whole different ball of wax. It's a whole different attention span for the audience. Now the audience thinks that you're telling a story about something outside of yourself. When you tell a story about something inside of yourself, that's an easy way, because then people feel simpatico with you. They feel wonderment with you. They feel, oh, yes, and how to come out, and how to come out. But when you're speaking about another person, it's more objective. And the subjective part is placed aside, and the objective part comes in. And people can accept this and build on it like principle. As long as you personally are in there, then they feel a personal direction in there and a personal attitude toward you. When this guru in India was traveling and visiting with friends, and he went into their bathroom and he started screaming, and they came in to see what was wrong, and he says his mother and father have died. And his host said, "Well, your mother and father died a long time ago." "No, no, no. Anger. Anger has just died." "And what was the other one?"
"Pride."
"Anger had just died. And pride had just died." Now, it makes for a very impressive statement, an impressive story. But if in truth, our logical mind says, "What the hell's wrong with you, Buster? If anger and pride have just died, you wouldn't cry. You wouldn't cry, and you wouldn't shout out, and you wouldn't miss them, because it was a spiritual illumination. And in a spiritual illumination, there is no physical, emotional anger." See, crying out is an anger. And the pride is the loss of those things. So the story loses its credibility. You say, "But it's a great story. It's a great story. It's one that we've used from time to time. It's a great story." Well, yes. From the human point of view, it's a great story. And if I am going to continually refer to you on the human point of view, continually refer to you on the level of the relative, then you will never step into the divine. You say, "Well, I thought everything was divine." That's true. That's true. But so long as you keep your thought dwelling upon the human, the relative, you will not reach into that greater depth of you. The human says, "I cannot do." The divine says, "It is done." The human says, "I am ignorant." The divine says, "I am all knowledge." The human says, "I am limited." The divine says, "I am unlimited." The human says, "I am sick and tired and I'm hungry, I'm sad." The divine says, "I am infinite joy, peace, abundance, love, truth. I am all." Now, you all say to me, and you say to every teacher, "I want what you have to share." I want what you have to give. And then when it's given, you say, but no, you don't understand. I want to be in that play. I want to be in that play because that play is so important for me to be in. I want to be in that play. And even though I was told that if I missed one time, I couldn't be in that play. I want to be in that play. I want to cheat. Now, I'm not trying to be too tough on you, but I am. I want to cheat. And so from early on, we want to violate the program. And when we do that, what are we doing? We are breaking ourselves of the wonderful condition that principle is always principle. Principle always stands up for principle. Now, if you want the story to have a different ending, then watch what the middle is. Be careful what you say about the middle. Because each one of you makes statements, as we all do. And these statements are that no one could ever do that, no one could ever do that, no one, and then you come along and do it. And your statement would better be, no one has ever done it up to now. Not that no one can do it. Because anyone can do it. It's just that no one up to this moment has done it. You see, we have to watch our words. If you are going to be a great speaker, if you're going to present great ideas, you have to do it so carefully and so wonderfully. Now, Sylvia is very upset with me for using this illustration, and she thinks that I'm very mean and very hateful for doing it. Now, if Sylvia would just stop and think that I'm giving her an opportunity to be untouched by this. Now, if you want to be touched by anything I say, then I will use you more and more, all of you, in illustrations, which I do. I'll use you more and more in these illustrations. And then you'll have an opportunity to be untouched. And you say, well, I'm getting out of this place if that's what you're going to do. Well, that's okay too. But you've asked for it. You want to walk your spiritual path. You want to be perfect. You want to do everything right. Ellen says, must you always pick on me? Must you always get on my back? Must you always do? Yeah. And the day I don't get on your back, you're either perfect or you're dead. And so, I don't kick a dead horse. So, just figure that if I'm not on your back, you're perfect. And that's wonderful. But stop and think about these things. You are always open fodder. Anything you say is open for my comment. My comment of love and joy and peace and harmony. And I love all of you exceedingly. And you say, well, if you love us, well, why are you picking on us so tough? Well, I see each of you as a perfect speaker. Even the greatest speaker started somewhere. I see each of you as a great speaker. And the greatest speaker, just let's use Jesus as an illustration. How many times did Jesus mention his family or his life in his teaching? Once when he was in the temple and his mother and brothers were pounding on the door saying, Jesus, come on out here, I want to talk to you. And he said to the people in the temple, who are my mother and brethren? You who follow what I teach. You who are here to hear what I have to say. And that's about the only time you can remember of where he mentioned his family. His great teaching, coming down 2,000 years in a most marvelous manner, never mentioned his family. He never mentioned his mother and his father. He said at the end, John, take care of Mom, you know. But he never mentioned these things. You take really great speakers, really great beings, they use the illustrations out of life. They use the illustrations that do not offend. They don't touch against anybody's life. Perhaps that's why I'm not a great speaker. I touch against people's lives. But they don't touch against people's lives. They touch only principle, so that anyone listening, if they have the ears, can hear it, the eyes to see it, and the life to live it. Remember that. Remember that. Oh, I give you illustrations from my life. And you say, oh, I didn't know all that about you. I didn't know. Well, now, did that help you to follow principle better when I spoke about my life? No. Did that help you to understand what the direction of your spiritual path is? No. It only let you understand me. It only let you understand what my background was, and to think with me that it was pretty nice. And so then you build a little pedestal upon which you put me, and you stand me up on this pedestal, and you want to worship me. And then circumstances come along in life, and the worshiping is gone. Now, why are you doing this? Why don't you worship yourself? Just worship yourself. If you worship anybody, me, anybody in the world, you're worshiping a fool. Because we are not you. Only you are you. And only you can live your life in its most magnificent, perfect, beautiful way. Never worship something outside of yourself. As Jesus said, go to the Father within, who seeth in secret, and he'll reward you openly. He said, be ye perfect, even as is your Father, which art within you. All of these things were very positive and very important to the greatest speaker, the greatest psychologist, the greatest being, virtually, who's ever walked the face of the earth. Can we learn from him? I would say yes. Can you learn from yourself? I would say yes. But so long as you have the feeling that you're being stepped on, you're being pushed aside, you're being in any way touched, then what you're saying is that you're not being yourself. Because if you like yourself, nobody can touch you. If you're being yourself, no one can speak kindly or unkindly about you. If you are the most beautiful, glorious being on the face of the earth, you will be the greatest speaker on the face of the earth. Not because you're speaking to others, but because you're speaking of yourself, from your heart. Not necessarily illustrations from your life, but illustrations that are of a universal nature. Practice that, and you will be the greatest speaker who ever walked upon the face of the earth. And you will have the greatest audience that ever existed upon the face of the earth. And the name of the audience is yourself. You are the greatest, most glorious being in the universe. Believe this. Don't preach for others. Don't teach for others. Don't live for others. Just do it for yourself. Even the greatest speakers started somewhere. Even the greatest speakers started somewhere. And the greatest speakers in the universe started with themselves. And that's all that's necessary. I love you.